wistfulness, the deep, faraway look in them. They were dancing and flashing with excitement now, and his whole frame was quivering with enthusiasm. With head thrown back, and tongue, hand, and foot all in motion, he seemed to have his audience completely spellbound, and they listened with open eyes and mouths to his oration. With one hand he was figuring a large brass button, which figured conspicuously in the center of his small waistcoat, and this button was the subject of his theme. My father rushed forward. "Come on, men, we'll save the old colors," and they shouted hurrah as they made after him. There were guns going and shells flying and swords flashing and hacking away, and the enemy poured on with fiery red faces and gnashing teeth. My father drew his sword, and no one could stand against him. No one. He cut, and he slashed, and heads and arms and legs rolled off as quick as lightning, one after the other. He got up to the colors, and with a shout he plunged his sword right through the enemy's body that had stolen them. The enemy fell stone dead. My father seized the colors and looked around. He was alone. The other soldiers had been beaten back. But was he in a funk? No, he gave a loud hurrah, picked up his sword, and fought his way back, the enemy hard after him. It was a race for life, and he ran backward the whole way. He wasn't going to turn his back to the enemy. He pressed on, shouting hurrah, till he got to his own side again, and then he reached his colonel. "Captain dead, sir, I've got the colors," he saluted as he said it, and then dropped dead himself at the colonel's feet, the blood gushing out of his heart and over his clothes and over this button. The little orator paused as he sank his voice to a tragic whisper. Then, raising it again, he added triumphantly, "And 30 bullets and 6 swords had gone through my father's body. That was something like a soldier." "Oh, I say," murmured a small skeptic from the crowd, "it was 20 bullets last time. Make it 50, Teddy." "And that's the story of my button," pursued the boy, ignoring with scorn this last remark.
"And did your father have only one button to his coat?"
The voice was a strange one, and the boys turned round to meet the curious gaze of a sturdy little damsel, who had, unnoticed, joined the group. She was not dressed as an ordinary village child, but in a little rough serge sailor suit, with a large hat to match, set well back on a quantity of loose dark hair. A rosy-cheeked, square-set little figure she was, and her brown eyes, fringed with long black lashes, looked straight at Teddy with something of defiance and scorn in their glance. Though at first a little taken aback, Reddy rose to the occasion. "One button," he said with emphasis. "The coat was sent to mother with only one button left on. And if you—" here he turned upon his questioner with a little fierceness— "if you had been through such a bloody battle and killed so many men, you would have burst and lost all your buttons and not had one left, like father." There was a round of applause at this, but the small maiden remained undaunted.
"Is that a true story you told?"
she demanded, with severity in her tone.
"Of course it's true," was the indignant shout of all.
"Then I tell you, boy, I don't believe a word of it."
And with set, determined lips, she turned on her heel and walked away, having sown seeds of anger and resentment in more than one boyish breast. "Who is she?" asked Teddy. As tired and exhausted by his recital, he threw himself on the grass to rest. One of the bigger boys answered him. "I seed her come yesterday in a cab from the town to old Saul at the turnpike. She and her mother, I reckon. They had 2 carpet bags, and a box, and a poll parrot in a cage. I counted them myself, for I was having a ride behind, and the woman she called Saul father, so the little un must be his granddaughter."
"Perhaps they've come from Meriki," suggested a small urchin, capering around on his hands and feet. "Poles allays come over the seas, you know."
"She didn't believe me," murmured Teddy, chewing a wisp of grass meditatively.
"Gals is no good, never. If she'd been a boy, you would have fought her, but I shouldn't care for not like her, Ted."
Teddy turned his face upward to the speaker.
"No, I couldn't have fought her, Sam, if she'd been a boy. I've promised my mother I won't fight again till she gives me leave. You see, I fought 4 boys in 1 week last time, and she says she won't have it. I don't see if it is right for soldiers to fight, why it isn't right for boys."
"I don't think there are any fellows left for you to fight with, so you're pretty safe. Besides, it was only Tom Larkin who set them on to try and get your button from you, and he's gone off to another part of the country now." "I think, perhaps," went on Teddy slowly, as he turned over on his back and looked up at the clear blue sky above him, "that I wasn't quite true about the bullets."